Would you take your Bibles and turn to 1 Peter chapter 3, please? 1 Peter chapter 3. We have concluded the section on suffering, and now we on submission, and now we move to suffering. It will probably take several weeks to work through the next few passages. And I want to start this morning by just encouraging you that if you do not understand discipleship, you will not understand these messages on suffering. Now, let me just explain that when we're talking about suffering in the text today in the next few weeks, we're talking about people who are experiencing hardship because they are a follower of Christ. Not just general trials. We all have general trials, hardships that come. But in this particular context, we're dealing with suffering because we have chosen to follow Christ. And if you do not understand discipleship, these messages will not make sense to you. In fact, you probably will say, oh, that's nice for you, but it really is not the path that I would take if something came across my path like you're speaking of. If you truly know Jesus Christ, and He is your hope in life and death, as we just sang, and if you really do believe that you had a sin problem, you came into this world broken, messy, full of sin, separated from your Creator, and your only hope was to look at the perfect sacrifice, Jesus Christ. God sent His Son because of His love, and Jesus died on the cross. And so by looking to Jesus and putting your trust and faith in Jesus and Jesus alone, not your works, not anything that you can do to earn salvation, but Jesus and Jesus alone, to take care of this brokenness, this sin problem that we all have. If you have accepted Jesus and His finished work on the cross for your sins, then you are a disciple of Christ. And I like to use the phrase, follower of Christ, as opposed to just the idea of Christian. I'm not against the term Christian, but I think follower of Christ really puts the emphasis where it needs to be, because a lot of people in our context here in the South and even in our country in the West, they would say, I'm Christian. Well, what does that actually mean according to the scriptures? It means that we will follow Christ. What was the path that Christ took? He went to His death for us. And we are called to follow in His footsteps. We are called to endure hardship for the sake of Jesus Christ. I want to read through this passage on the screen here. You can follow along. It says in Luke 9, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised on the third day. That had to happen. That was God's plan for redemption. So Christ suffered, and that suffering took Him all the way to death. And He was saying to them all, those disciples, those people who were listening, if anyone wants to come after Me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow Me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for My sake, I mentioned a moment ago, we have to be willing as followers of Christ to lose our life for Him. But whoever will lose his life for My sake, this is the one who will save it. For what good does a person, what good it does a person if he gains the whole world, but he loses and forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed of Me and My words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when He comes in His glory and the glory of the Father and the holy angels. This passage talks about discipleship. It's more than just having the name Christian added to your life. It means that I am a follower of Christ Christ was willing to lay down his life to accomplish the will of God. And as we work through the next few weeks and these verses here that Peter wrote years ago in a context. Now, we don't know all what Peter knew at the time, and we don't know exactly when the persecution started for these readers. We know it had started, but we know that it was about a year later that it really intensified. So we're not sure what Peter knew and what he didn't know, but we understand that God sovereignly inspired him to write this letter to a group of people who were going to experience very difficult persecution. So when he says that you're going to suffer, and he says it many times in this book, he was preparing them to be able to stand and really live out the call of discipleship upon a follower of Christ. That this passage in Luke 9 says that we must be willing to lay our lives down. Now, as I have been thinking about this passage all week and how it relates to our situation here in America, in South Carolina, which I'm so thankful for. I'm thankful for our freedoms. I'm thankful for the state and the leadership. And then I open the Word and I read this passage here. And let's do that at this time. It says in verse 13, chapter 3, who is there to harm you if you prove zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed. And do not fear their intimidation, and do not be troubled, but sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. And keep a good conscience, so that the thing in which you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ, will be put to shame. For it is better, if God should will it so, that you suffer for doing what is right rather than suffering for doing what is wrong. So we have a situation where Peter is talking to a group of believers, a group of people who say they're followers of Christ. And he is saying to them, be zealous about good works, pursue righteousness. We've already gone through similar things in this letter about that pursuit. But if that happens, it generally will go okay for you. But if it happens where, in God's sovereignty, you suffer for doing what is right, he says, you are blessed. And that's where I have a hard time wrapping my mind around this text as it relates to the West, America, South Carolina. Now, I think the day is coming. Our pastoral team chose this book this year to prepare us for the days that probably are coming down the pike when we will suffer persecution. But in all reality, those days are not here yet. Just practically speaking, I was thinking about this last week of my life, and did I experience any kind of resistance for being a follower of Christ? And I was trying to evaluate, and I would like you to evaluate. In the last 7 days or the last few weeks, have you experienced any resistance at all for being a follower of Christ? Where you were in a situation that you were living out the gospel, speaking about the gospel, and someone actually went against you. My thought would be that most of us have not experienced resistance. Definitely not to this kind of level that Peter is speaking about. In fact, in the last week, I had a couple conversations with an unsaved couple, and the most kind of resistance, and I'm not even really putting it in the resistance category, was them saying, well, we're not Christians, and they went on to kind of explain what they believe and different things like that. I can't even put that in the suffering category. That was just a conversation with two different people with different worldviews. So in my world that I have experienced in the last several days, this idea of suffering and hardship, because I follow Christ, it seems very, very far away from me. It doesn't seem like I am experiencing hardship or any kind of suffering because I have chosen to follow Christ with my life. Maybe you're unique here. Maybe it's in a job situation. Maybe it's a family situation that you have taken a stand for Christ and you've experienced some hardship in your family and there's suffering there. But we really aren't to the place yet. Again, I believe the days are coming, but we are not to the place yet where we have to really put this into practice. Now, we, as a pastoral team, we want to prepare. We want to build your life. We want you to have the right kind of thinking. And this book has helped us in that process. But it's easy for us in 2021 to open this book right here and read this idea of suffering for doing what is right. And we're like, I'm in. Mostly because we don't feel the weight of it. We don't feel the day in, day out hardship of having to actually stand for Jesus. But perhaps the day is coming when we will. And my question to you is, are you really ready? With all honesty, before the Lord, are you really ready if someone were to come at you because you say you follow Jesus? And come at you with harsh words, as Peter has talked about, reviling, and maybe even physical hardship and suffering because you stand for Jesus. See, we can say in theory all day long, I'm in. I am ready to take up my cross. I'm ready to follow Jesus. But it's easy to say that in our context. It's easy to say that when we really don't experience anyone coming against us. We really don't feel resistance at any point in our life. Maybe that speaks to how much we actually talk about Jesus. Because we certainly know the world is against him. But maybe it's because we kind of operate under the radar and we live out the gospel and we're all in about that. But then the actual speaking about him doesn't happen very often. And maybe that's one indication why our lives are typically fairly smooth. But Peter is saying here that if we were to experience suffering, real hardship, because we have said, Jesus is my Savior. The big idea here that he says is, you are blessed. And that's where it's like, what? Our perspective of blessing is what we're kind of experiencing right now. Everything's going okay. As far as just being a true follower of Christ, there's not a lot of resistance. We don't have a lot of people coming at us because of that. And then we look at the other areas of our lives and we have all kinds of material blessings and all kinds of physical blessings. Now, I realize there are hardships and trials that people are going through. I'm not minimizing that at all. But we're talking about the category of suffering because of Christ. So we tend to think we are blessed because everything is great. And this text says you will be blessed when it gets really, really bad. And our minds are like, how does that work? But that's the kind of preparation that we need now to be able to handle and to be able to be strengthened for the moment when we would experience resisting on the level of persecution for the cause of Christ. Now, let's look at verse 13. We'll start there and get as far as we can this morning. The verse 13 kind of, I would say, if you're keeping an outline, number one would be the general rule regarding suffering. General rule regarding suffering is found in there in verse 13. Who is there to harm you if you prove zealous for what is good? So it's a rhetorical question. That's my perspective on this verse, that there is this general rule of life. Even from a biblical perspective, in the book of Proverbs, we have a number of, not promises, but we have a number of encouraging statements that encourage us to live out a certain way. And again, those are not guarantees. They're instruction, they're encouragement for us. But the general rule is, do what is right. And that's the focus here. If you are zealous for what is good, what does it mean to be zealous? Well, it means to be so enthusiastic or so encaptured by your thoughts of what you believe that you are all in. And there was a group of people in this day and age in which it was written that were called the Zealots. And they were a group of Jewish people that wanted to take over from the, they wanted the Jews to be able to control and gain control back from the Romans. And they were zealous about that. The idea here is that if you are zealous, you're an enthusiast about doing good. Like, you're not a perfect person, but your desire is to do what's right, to live out the gospel, try to follow Jesus in the way that he lived. If you typically live that way, things will generally go okay. If we try to obey the word of God, then many times you will not find resistance. You could make some applications along these lines in just normal circumstances of life. Most neighbors like a good neighbor. What does that look like? Well, if you're kind, you know, there's some sort of general kindness that comes out of your life living in the environment in which you are. You don't steal stuff. You don't, like, you know, hurt other people's property. Typically, unless you're in an HOA in Greenville County, now that's a whole different story. But the general rule is that things will go well for you. In work, if you are zealous about doing what is good and doing what is right, most of the time, there is peace in your life. And again, you have those individual bosses that don't fit the general category. There are exceptions to the rule, and we'll talk about this. But you do what's right. You live out the gospel. You typically we'll see that things are going okay. But verse 14, I would suggest number two, is the exception to the rule regarding suffering. The exception to the rule that Peter makes is that even if you should suffer for the Lord's sake, you are blessed. And this is kind of the introduction to this section on suffering. Generally, things are going to go okay. And I think that's probably where we find ourselves most days in the context in which we live. If we're zealous about doing what is right, things are going well for us. We have hardships in areas of our life, yes, but there's not a lot of persecution or suffering for being a follower of Christ. But there are times when living in a broken world, which Peter understood, in a world that is against God, that does not hold to Jesus Christ being the Messiah, that following him will bring suffering. And this idea of suffering, it's used 12 times in Peter, 41 times in the whole New Testament. And it's again, in regards to experiencing something, some sort of resistance or hardship because you are a follower of Jesus Christ. If someone's going to suffer, it should be for doing what's right. Peter makes that point. If you're doing what's wrong, you should expect it. But if you're experiencing hardship, let it be because you're zealous about good works, you're zealous about following Christ, you're zealous about His name. And if this happens, Peter says, you are blessed. You have divine favor on you. If you look at verse 12 of chapter 3, it says, for the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous. He says here in this verse, you are blessed if you, because of me, because of Jesus, experience hardship. This is actually a good thing. And this is where it's probably hard for us to really wrap our minds around it. I mean, let's just say our culture, I mean, it's declining. Scripture tells us good men go from bad to worse. That's a biblical principle. But let's just say things go radically south in the next year, to where there is huge pressure put on churches to comply. If the Equality Act goes through, things that we have yet to experience, but it's a very, very close probability. And we have to make the decision as believers in your workplace, because it will affect you, in your home and potentially families, in church, are we ready, being zealous for what is good? Not because we're idiots and we're doing things that we shouldn't be, but we're actually zealous for what's good. Are we ready to embrace this idea that this is actually a blessing? Because what I hear from a lot of Christians is a lot of fear of what's coming down the pike. And Peter's going to speak to that in just a moment. And so he starts at the very beginning of this whole truth passage. And he says, you will be blessed if this happens. And I want us to get our minds around that, because it's a temptation for Christians living in South Carolina, in America, in the West, in 2021, to think blessing is other than hardship. But Peter says, even if, in pursuing what is right, for the sake of righteousness, you suffer, this is a very, very good thing. Are you there mentally? Have you been able to wrestle with this idea? Because this is the starting point of having this solid foundation that suffering for righteousness is actually going to be a good thing in the future. And to all that, we're like, we cringe inside. But that is the truth here. Peter says, you will be blessed. You will have divine favor now and for eternity. If for my sake, remember Jesus' own words in Luke 9. If you want to follow me, you must deny yourself, lay down your life. This is a good thing. And Luke 9, Jesus promises that if you do it, he will not be ashamed of you. So this divine favor is that the eyes of the Lord that are toward the righteous, those who really understand discipleship, and they're willing to go through whatever it takes. And as they do, they understand it's a really, really good thing. That for standing up for Jesus Christ, we can endure things that are very, very difficult. To be blessed is is that idea that we are under the sovereign watch care of God and that we cannot experience harm. We cannot experience harm. Verse 13 says, who is there to harm you? Under God's sovereign care, when we experience suffering, we are blessed. Look at these passages of Scripture. Matthew 5:10. Blessed are those who have been persecuted, not for being an idiot, not for being foolish, for the sake of righteousness. And what will be their inheritance? The kingdom of God. And it starts with the same idea that Peter is trying to enforce here. Blessed, divine favor. No one can physically or ultimately harm you without being under the sovereign care of God. No one. So we look at all the people who have opposing worldviews and hatred against God, and the temptation is to fear them. But this promises that we are blessed. We are under the sovereign watch care of God. And no one can ultimately hurt us if we stand strong. Acts chapter 5, this is an illustration of it. They followed his advice, and after calling the apostles in, they flogged them and ordered them not to speak of the name of Jesus. This is the suffering Peter is talking about. A culture in which no one wants to hear or have anything to do with Jesus. That's where the disciples found themselves when the book of Acts was written. Completely against a group of people who claimed Jesus Christ as their Messiah. And what they experienced from that, they flogged them and they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus, and they released them. So they went on their way from the presence of the council doing this, rejoicing that they had been considered worthy to suffer shame for Jesus' name. Can we even fathom that in America and South Carolina this morning? I don't think we can. I don't think we're ready. And I'm not saying it's, I'm using the word we. I'm throwing myself in there. It's not me against you. I'm like right there. I'm trying to wrap my mind around this idea that in the days ahead, if we experience hardship and suffering, like the disciples who were the first called disciples when they followed Jesus Christ, they experienced flogging and they were told, do not speak his name. And their reaction was that they actually believed the words of Jesus. We are blessed. So let's just play this out. The disciples preaching, teaching about Jesus. The authorities of the day wanted nothing to do with it, ordered them to stop. They wouldn't stop. They experienced physical persecution, flogging. They were beaten. And their response is, rejoice. Are you ready? Are you really ready for that? Because I think when the day comes, there's going to be a lot of sifting that happens in the Christian church. A lot of people who fell under the name of Christian, but really didn't understand discipleship. And discipleship means my life does not matter. It's about Jesus. And the sifting process will probably be very, very clear. And the preparation for it is this moment. Wrapping your mind around a text like this and making commitment to the Lord. God, I believe you when you say in your word that this suffering will bring blessedness. Divine favor will be on my life if I go through this process. if it's hard, if it's difficult, I will be blessed. Friends, it's not me and you against you. I am right there. And I hope this will be my life. But I can say in theory, yes, I will stand, I will do this, but I have never really experienced what Peter's talking about. And most of us haven't. But the day is coming. The day is coming. 2 Corinthians 4:16 and 17. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though our outer man, outer person is decaying, yet our inner person is being renewed day by day. For our momentary light affliction, and that's what would be described as physical suffering, hardship for the name of Christ, is producing in us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. Let that saturate your mind. Let the word of Christ dwell richly in you, brother or sister. Let it dwell in your heart that suffering brings blessedness and the eternal weight of glory will be beyond comparison. So yes, it's difficult hard. It's difficult here. You may have to give up some things. It may be that the ripple effects from the persecution does touch your material possessions and all the things that come with that. But there's no comparison to the blessedness of the follower of Christ who stands in the midst of this kind of suffering and persecution. There's no comparison. So we have great hope in this. This idea of blessedness, it's God's sovereign care. It's His divine favor that no one can ultimately harm us. And what we have waiting for us is glorious. I would say number three this morning as we continue in the text. And do not fear their intimidation and do not be troubled. So the wrong response to suffering would be point number three. The wrong response to suffering would be to fear and be troubled. Jesus said over and over, do not let your heart be troubled. Do not fear. Verse 13, who's there to harm you? It is going to hurt. That's what suffering means. But if we believe the truth that Peter is trying to communicate, we will not be ultimately hurt. There is nothing that anyone can do to harm us in our eternal destination. We are blessed. We have God's divine favor. But when it comes, in the moment, we're tempted to fear man. It says, don't let their intimidation, what you think that they are, you think that there's someone who can bring great harm to you. Think of a bigger picture in the reality that they cannot harm you. Yes, physically and even ripple effects, things can go bad. But for the believer, for the follower of Christ, which is why I started in Luke 9 today, it doesn't matter because we daily lay our life down for Jesus. So we don't have to live in fear. We don't have to be troubled. We don't have to panic. We don't have to be agitated when things start to shake up. And I keep asking you, are you ready? One way that you can evaluate your readiness is if when you hear of something happen, maybe in Canada, of churches that we're experiencing through this whole process, some form of persecution and pastors that actually did have to go to jail. When you hear that, does that cause fear in your heart? It shouldn't. Not if we believe this text. When you hear of a bad report or persecution of Christians in other parts of the world, our first response should be, they are blessed. We don't want them to experience them. We don't want that to happen. But we must think biblically, or else when it comes to us, we will not be ready. So if when you hear a report, your heart is crippled with fear and your heart is troubled and you start to fear man and the intimidation and what, you know, any kind of leader that this world has to offer that ultimately is still under the sovereign care of God, God allows them to get there. Our response should not be fear. But many times it is. What is the proper response? That would be number four. The right response, it says in verse 15, but sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts. That's the right response to suffering. Sanctify Christ as Lord. This word sanctify, we've talked about it in other passages. It means to set apart. And the idea here is that when we sanctify Christ as Lord in our hearts, that we in reverential awe of Him, give Him His rightful place. We let Him be the center of our lives. We set Him apart in our lives to be central as Lord, meaning the Master King. He has His rightful place on the throne room of my heart and your heart. That's how we respond. Jesus, You are my Lord. So no matter what's happening to me, physically, financially, the ripple effects for being a follower of Christ, Jesus, You are my Lord. My life is for You. I'm daily laying my life down for You. That is the right response to suffering. Believing that it is a blessed life to follow Jesus. That no one can ultimately hurt you. And that belief then translating into when it happens, as Peter says, and if you should suffer, what you must do is sanctify Christ as Lord. Keep Him at the center of your life. It's His rightful place. And if you're a disciple of Christ, a true disciple of Christ, you understand it. But if you don't know Jesus in the way that the Scriptures define it, this doesn't make sense to you. This message and the ones that will follow, it doesn't make sense to you. You're like, I'm out. Or when any kind of resistance will come, you'll probably bail. But if you understand, if you know, and you believe Jesus' words, that following Him meant that He actually gets to be the king of your heart. When the hardships come, we set Him in that place. God, You're the Lord of this trial. You're the Lord of my suffering. You're the Lord of my life. You're the Lord of every part of me. And when You're Lord, I understand there's no one that's going to harm me ultimately. So let Him bring it on. Let Him come. Because God, You're at the center. And with that is the idea of a clear statement of faith. We'll talk about that. As well of a clear life, a clear conscience before other people. But it is so important. And I would go as far as to say it's critical for the American church right now to prepare. And again, I told you this week, I've experienced nothing hard for being a follower of Christ. But I'm in preparation mode, personally. Because I've chosen a life following the Lord that, you know, I'm going to lead. I'm going to follow Jesus and I'm going to lead God's church down this path. I'm not going to bail, at least I don't want to. It's not my heart. So I'm personally prepping for the days that are going to come. And as an under-shepherd here, I'm trying to make sure we as a family, we're ready for this. And I hope it's not in my lifetime, but I'm pretty sure it's going to be. And I want to do it right. I want to be at a place when I can really believe I am blessed to go through this. Like, for my Savior, I'm willing to lose it all. I've never experienced that before. But I'm trying to get ready. And I'm trying to help us get ready. But it starts with truth. Dwelling richly in our hearts and minds. Suffering is blessed. Not fear, faith. Are you ready? I want you to ask yourself that over the next several weeks. Are you ready? Hopefully you're proving zealous about doing right and you are experiencing very little right now. But if it were to come, are you going to follow Jesus? Would you bow with me as we close? You know, there's so much in the scripture that it's all truth, and so much of it, though, for us in the day in which we have lived and enjoyed, it's theory. It hasn't been tested. But we can't always believe that that's going to be the case. So would you just maybe start today and over the next several weeks, start a true evaluation process in your heart and mind? What if verse 14 is true in my life? Like, I'm not experiencing now the general rule of suffering. I'm all is well. But what if it comes? Am I ready? May God help us to let His truth dwell richly in our hearts. Take a moment of just quiet prayer time in response to the truth today. God, if and when the enemies come, I pray that You will find us praising. You will find us worshiping. You will find us being still. You will find us committed to Your truth, believing that suffering is blessedness. God, we need You during these days to strengthen us, to really cement these truths in our hearts and minds as we prepare for the future. You have a glorious timetable. And as we look at the scriptures, we don't always understand it. But we believe that You are coming back. And we are hopeful that we are going to see You soon. So Lord, help us to be ready. Help us to really desire truth to dwell in our hearts and minds. And thank You for the peace that comes when the truth is there. Thank you, God, for each one of my brothers and sisters, true followers of Jesus. God, strengthen us for the battle ahead. In your holy and precious name I pray. Amen.